You are Locked On SEC, your daily podcast on the Southeastern Conference. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's happening, everybody? Welcome into Locked On SEC. Great to have you guys along. On today's show, we will go around the conference as the Florida Gators will be without one of their big playmakers on defense this Saturday and moving forward, but going to miss him against Alabama this weekend. Also, college football analyst Taylor McHarg will join us as well to talk all things SEC heading into Week 3. And we'll give you our official picks for Week 3 of the SEC, a couple of big matchups happening this weekend. I'm Chris Gordy. Be sure to follow Locked On SEC for free wherever you get your podcasts. Get the latest episode of the show as soon as it comes out each and every day. And a quick reminder, no better place to get all of your Big 12 conference news than Locked On Big 12 with our buddy Josh Neighbors. Check out Locked On Big 12 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Let's jump into it.
Boots out to the right. Intercepted.
Makes the handoff.
Throws
into the ball. What a catch.
Around the conference.
And we go around the conference. We start in Gainesville, as number 11 Florida will be missing a key player on the defensive side of the ball Saturday against number 1 Alabama. News broke Wednesday night that senior linebacker Ventrell Miller was going to require surgery for a torn biceps tendon, expected to miss several weeks, some saying he will miss the rest of the season. 6'1", 226-pound, fifth-year senior from the state of Florida recorded 8 combined tackles in Florida's wins over Florida Atlantic and South Florida. A big loss for the Gators, of course, ahead of their monster matchup with Alabama. Speaking of Florida, when Saturday afternoon's game kicks off in Gainesville, the Gators will be wearing their traditional home look, the orange helmets, blue jerseys, and white pants. So going traditional this week, nothing crazy. On the other side, Alabama, Nick Saban, he met with reporters this week ahead of the game, and among a number of topics, Saban gave a health update on defensive backs Josh Jobe and Jalen Armour Davis, both of whom were unavailable in the game against Mercer last week. Saban said they've practiced all the plays. They're out there playing every day. Seem like they're doing okay to me. So expect both of those guys back in the secondary for Alabama. South Carolina, Shane Beamer's Gamecocks, they will be massive underdogs against Georgia this weekend, a defense that has yet to yield an offensive touchdown this season. But who will be the quarterback for South Carolina? That's the big question. Will Luke Doty finally make his first appearance of the season, or will they rely on Zeb Noland again for another game? Shane Beamer did his weekly radio show last night, and according to the first-year head coach, he said it appears Doty will play his first appearance since that foot injury he suffered just weeks before the season. Beamer did say plenty could change between now and Saturday. He said, I don't want to come up here and just make up stuff about Luke. He's not sore today. Doesn't mean he won't wake up tomorrow and isn't sore. We don't know. Kickoff between the Gamecocks and Bulldogs, Sanford Stadium, set for 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Saturday night. In recruiting news, Arch Manning, of course, will be not be heading to college until 2023, but he's going to be spending this season traveling around, visiting potential schools. And that will start this Saturday, where he will be in attendance for the South Carolina-Georgia matchup. Manning will also attend the Ole Miss-Alabama game on October 2nd and the LSU-Ole Miss matchup on October 23rd. His visits won't be limited to just SEC schools. He will plan to visit Oklahoma-Texas in mid-October, Florida State-Clemson in late October. All that from 24/7 Sports. Manning is the number one overall recruit in the 2023 class. After losing to Pitt last week, Tennessee head coach Josh Heupel named two areas of concern that he thinks his team needs to work on: penalties and turnovers. Penalties and turnovers at critical moments in last week's game cost the Vols dearly, especially an interception at the end of the game. Josh Heupel said the message to the players has been about the things we can control. We can control small communication, like on the sidelines. We will see if Hendon Hooker is indeed the guy Joe Milton banked up at the quarterback spot. Over at Kentucky, former offensive coordinator Eddie Gran is coming back to Kentucky. Won't be running the offense. That's Liam Cohen's job now. But after parting ways with the Wildcats last December, Gran will return to the program as an off-the-field assistant, according to Kentucky Sports Radio. Gran was Kentucky's OC from 2016 to 2020 before he and the Cats agreed to part ways the end of last year. Over at LSU, Coach Ed Ogeron revealed that starting right tackle Austin Deculus will return this weekend against Central Michigan. Deculus got hurt in week one versus UCLA, did not play last week against McNeese. LSU's O-line has really struggled at times through these first 2 weeks, so Deculus will be a welcome return for the Tigers against Central Michigan. Over at Texas A&M, Jimbo Fisher giving an update on some of his injuries. Defensive back Miles Jones was back at practice this week, should play this weekend. Wide receiver Hezekiah Jones, not quite ready yet, dealing with a shoulder injury. And center Luke Matthews is progressing with his shoulder injury. They're hoping to get him back this weekend. And lastly, over at Auburn, no bigger proud alum from the Auburn fan base than Charles Barkley, who was doing an interview on SiriusXM this week and shared his honest take on Brian Harsin and Auburn. He said, look, I like our new coach. I like Brian Harsin a lot. Took a big chance, and that tells me he's got courage and conviction. He said he took the hardest job in college sports, but to come to Alabama and go against Nick Saban, that tells me he wanted to test himself. We got to go against Michael Jordan every year, and I look forward to that challenge, Michael Jordan being Alabama and Nick Saban. And there you have it. That is Around the Conference. When we return, we're going to catch up with college football analyst Taylor McHarg to get his thoughts on some of the SEC games this weekend. That's next. Need to remind you guys about our friends over at Built Bar, still the best tasting protein bar ever. So many delicious flavors. I've tried just about all of them. I recommend you guys try them all. You can find out which one is your favorite, from coconut to cherry barcia, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel. There's literally something for everybody. Like I said, if you haven't tried them all, you can get a mixed box on their website. Basically, what they'll do is they'll send you two of each of the nine flavors. Try them all, see which one you like, some better than others, whatever your taste buds say, and you can figure out which one is your favorite and go with that one moving forward. The best part about Built Bars, not only are they the best tasting, but they're healthy as well. 17, 18 grams of protein packed in there, calories ranging from 130 to 180. It's a great alternative, especially after a workout, instead of going and pounding that protein shake that's loaded with tons of other stuff in there. Go with a Built Bar. Also, a better alternative if you're snacking in the afternoon at work, eating a bag of chips or cookies, go with a Built Bar packed with protein, only 4 grams sugar, 4 grams net carbs. Amazing flavors, all tasty and all healthy. Go to BuiltBar.com. Use our promo code LOCK15. You'll get 15% off your first order if you've never used them before. Use the promo code LOCK15 for 15% off over at BuiltBar.com. Going along here, Locked On SEC. And we got a couple special guests joining us throughout the season. And this guy, really, really good insight when it comes to all things college football. Our buddy Taylor McHarg, former college football quarterback, now serving as a college football analyst. He's been on ESPN Plus, watch ESPN, doing games all across the network, and he joins us now. Taylor, welcome in, man. Want to talk some SEC football with you. One of the big games last weekend, Arkansas beating the Texas Longhorns. Texas got pushed around. Arkansas thought they came out with energy and intensity. What did you make of that game?
Good wake-up call for, you know, the first week. Texas looked strong against ULL, but ULL is very different from the SEC West, and Texas got punched in the mouth. I went back and watched it, and you had a freshman quarterback that looked like a freshman, but on both sides of the ball, offensive and defensive line, they got pushed around. And that emotion that you're talking about, Arkansas came out, they had the exact opposite performance this week that they did against Rice, where they looked really flat. And that is, I think, and you got to hope if you're a UT fan, that's the wake-up call they needed to say, for this, it's likely the last year they're in the Big 12. I don't think they'll play a Big 12 schedule next season. But you've got to figure out a way to match that level of intensity the rest of this season, because that's been the problem for Texas for a long time, is they play up or down typically to their competition. And if you can't figure out a way to get up for a road game at Arkansas, which that's what it looked like. They looked flat. There wasn't a lot of emotion on Texas' side, and they got pushed around.
Talking with Taylor McHarg, of course, college football analyst. And Taylor, Texas A&M, another team that, man, they struggled last week and survived, I guess you could say, against Colorado. A win is a win, but quarterback play, some big questions there. You're a former quarterback. What did you make of the performance of Zach Calzada having to come in for the injured Haynes King? He looked rattled, wasn't very accurate. How did you assess Zach Calzada's performance, and what do you expect of him moving forward?
I would say for Haynes King in their opener against Kent State, and then in the he was hurt, I believe it was the first drive of the game. But for Haynes and for Zach Calzada, I have not been impressed with really either one of them through the first couple games of the season. And I'm trying to figure out, and you're waiting, maybe it takes another game or two, but is this a quarterback issue, or are they trying to figure out how to piece these guys into the scheme that Jimbo Fisher has had success with in the past? But they looked plain. They looked about as plain as you can get against Colorado. The scheme, there wasn't anything that was creative. There was nothing downfield. Everything was in front. Most of the passing game was, their completions were all within that 10 yards from the line of scrimmage. And the run game, which is traditionally what a Jimbo Fisher offense does traditionally pretty well, was also not there. And Colorado is a okay Pac-12 team. I don't think this is by any means going to be a team that competes for the Pac-12. But for A&M coming into the season, this was supposed to be, hey, we've got all the pieces. If we can just figure out the quarterback spot with one of these young guys, we think we have the talent to compete with Alabama and for the SEC West. And through two games, I don't think they're anywhere close. I think when they play, I think about Ole Miss. I don't care how many points Ole Miss gives up traditionally. There's no way this A&M offense is going to be able to keep up with them. And so I think they've got problems on offense right now. They've got to figure it out in a hurry because their schedule does not get any easier.
It's a good point with the Aggies. They get New Mexico this week, and really a game that Zach Calzada has got to go out and put up some good numbers and develop some confidence. Taylor, we're seeing some of the lesser schools across college football, I guess you could say, keeping up with the big dogs. Toledo just hung with Notre Dame. Jacksonville State beat Florida State. It just seems like outside of a few schools, this might be one of those years where anybody can beat anybody this year.
And I think the only other piece I would add is the COVID year, allowing these kids to come back and have that, whatever you would call it, a super year, a super senior year, where you've got six-year seniors that are out there playing, and a lot of them have transferred to other programs.
Right.
You mentioned Toledo. If you have good seniors and you have kids that came back and they got a fifth or a sixth year and you were already a pretty good team, now you're a really good team. And we've seen a few of those. I don't have the number in front of me right now, but I think it's 8 or 9 FCS teams have upset FBS teams to this point in the season. And I do think, with the exception of the top 4 or 5, there's been a clear difference in the playoff era of the Georgias, Oklahomas, Alabama, Clemson, and then you throw in maybe Ohio State, Notre Dame, maybe an Oregon. With the exception of those teams, everybody else feels like they're in a pretty big pot in the FBS. And a lot of that has to do with parity and recruiting. I think about UTSA. UTSA goes up, and they were the better team against a Big Ten Illinois opponent that had just beaten Nebraska. Well, UTSA just looked better. I think they actually probably should have won by a couple scores in that game. And I think we're seeing that across the board in college football. Go back to last year, ULL goes on the road and beats Iowa State. That's just kind of become the norm. And I don't think that's going back in the opposite direction. I think long term, you'll have more parity across college football, which I think is a good thing.
Taylor, let's jump into some of the bigger games happening this weekend, particularly one in the SEC. Big game that intrigues me. Number one, Alabama on the road, playing in a hostile environment in the Swamp, sold out crowd, going to be very loud. Young quarterback at Bryce Young, who's been very good so far, but is there a chance that maybe Bryce Young struggles in his first true road start on Saturday against Florida?
Yeah, there's always a world where your young quarterback goes in and struggles, but I think Bryce Young, I will continue to give the Alabama offense the benefit of the doubt until proven otherwise. This, to me, I don't know if you guys watched the Ravens and Raiders game a couple nights ago, but the Ravens style of defense where they just put everybody at the line of scrimmage and play man on the back end is what I would expect Alabama to run, something similar to that against Florida. Florida can run the football. They had over 300 yards rushing in their last game. They can run the football, no problem. The issue for them is going to be, is Alabama going to allow any sort of downfield passing? That's what I'm looking for. I would imagine Alabama comes out, stacks the line of scrimmage and says, if you're going to beat us, you're going to have to throw over top because we don't think you can do it. That's going to be, to me, Alabama, if they get up a couple scores in this game in the first half, I don't know that this Florida team is capable of coming back against that Alabama defense. And I don't think they're capable of staying in a shootout. If you can force Bryce Young to have some early turnovers, some early interceptions, even if it's not a turnover, some sort of early mistake that gets momentum on your side, that's going to be huge for this Florida offense.
Yeah, and the interesting part, Alabama getting a couple of their injured DBs back, and, you know, maybe that's only going to make them even stronger. Talking with Taylor McCarg, college football analyst. Last thing for you, Taylor, a quick thought on the Georgia Bulldogs. Their defense has been unbelievable this season. South Carolina facing a ridiculous challenge this weekend. But Shane Beamer, talking with the media this week, he said this might be the best talent on a roster in the history of Georgia football. He also gushed over their backup quarterback at Stetson Bennett, if he is to start for JT Daniels, looks that way. Is that a tactic coaches use sometimes, kind of killing their opponent with kindness?
Yeah, that's that rat poison that Saban always talks about. I think it's somewhere between maybe some posturing and also being honest. I think Georgia's offense still has some things they need to prove. This is a big week for it because they had their own issues against Clemson on offense. But Georgia's front seven, I know I just mentioned them, but it's a perfect comp again. Georgia's front seven and the Raiders style of defense, I'm sorry, the Ravens style of defense is very similar. They crowd the line of scrimmage. You go back against Clemson, they just said, you are not going to be able to take shots on us downfield. It's the exact same thing I just talked about. And they are able to get pressure. Oftentimes, they're able to get pressure with four. So when they dial up a blitz, go back and watch the tape against Clemson and DJ, they had him uncomfortable the entire game. He was never able to take his drop, set, go through a progression. There were zero opportunities for him to do that. And they're going to try and do the same thing against South Carolina and the rest of their SEC slate. I don't know that there's anybody that's going to be able to score points. There are two offenses that I think will have a real shot at scoring points and being effective, and it's Alabama and it's Ole Miss. Outside of that, in the SEC, I'm not sure there's anybody that would have a realistic shot at putting up any sort of decent offensive performance.
Taylor, thanks so much for the time, man. Do it again next week.
That sounds great, guys. I appreciate it.
All right, there he is, Taylor McCarg, college football analyst. Appreciate him taking some time out with us, as he does just about every week. When we return, we're going to make our picks for this week. That's coming up next. Need to remind you guys about betonline.ag. They're back and better than ever. All eyes on the gridiron now as we got NFL back, college football. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all things pro and college football action with a new updated website, new interface, even more odds, props, and contests. BetOnline.ag continues to be the number one source for everything football. If you head to their website, do so on your mobile device. You can sign up today, receive a 100% welcome bonus, double your initial deposit just for signing up. Don't forget to use the promo code NFL100. That's NFL100. Get a 100% welcome bonus if you signed up for the first time ever, never used them before. Football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers they got. BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, they are your online sportsbook experts. Rolling along here, Locked On SEC, and we got to get you guys ready for the weekend of games. So let's not waste any more time. Let's jump into it and make some picks for week three in the SEC. And we start with some of the lesser games. New Mexico at Texas A&M. The Aggies, a 29.5-point favorite. These all according to betonline.ag. Zach Calzada, he has got to play well. That's what I'm looking for. Set a foundation, knowing he is the guy moving forward with Haynes King out. But even more than that, A&M, get back to your bread and butter, man. Get back to running the football better. They only rushed for 97 total yards last week at Colorado. Get Spiller and A-Shane going. Aggies win, but do not cover the 29.5. I think they win by like 27, 28, something like that. But I don't think they cover the 29.5. Too many points versus New Mexico. Georgia Southern is at Arkansas. Arkansas, a 23.5-point home favorite. fresh off their win over Texas. I'd like to see some better passing numbers from KJ Jefferson this week. We know how good they can run the football. They dominated the run last week in the win over Texas. But KJ Jefferson had just 138 passing yards week one, just 128 passing last week. And go out there, have a 200, 300-yard passing game against Georgia Southern. I'll take Arkansas to cover those points late. Arkansas minus the 23.5. Central Michigan at LSU. LSU a 19.5-point home favorite. Need to see LSU's O-line protect Max Johnson and give him some more time to throw. Cut down on the three and outs. Get some fluidity in that offense. Convert some third downs. You're preparing for your first SEC game on the road next week at Mississippi State. I think LSU covers, but barely. I think they win by 21. They covered the 19.5. Stanford is at Vanderbilt, and Vanderbilt, a home 12-point underdog. You know, the rule of thumb is typically you're getting a home 10-point home underdog in the SEC, even if you're Vanderbilt. Typically, you take those points. But it's a battle of the smart schools. Vandy fresh off their win number one on the road to Colorado State. Stanford with a nice upset of USC last week. I think Stanford just has too many weapons. Their quarterback Tanner McKee has been solid. Vandy's in for a long night. Take Stanford minus the 12 in Nashville. Tulane is at Ole Miss. Ole Miss just a 14-point favorite against Tulane. Lane Kiffin this week took a shot at Pro Football Focus, which was very complimentary of the Rebels' offensive line. Kiffin said, quote, they apparently don't watch a whole lot of film because we didn't play well up front last week. I think Tulane can hang around for a while in this one, but I think ultimately the Matt Corral passing offense will be just be too much, and they'll pull away. Man, two touchdowns is a good line. I will take Ole Miss to cover, but, man, I think Tulane hangs around for a bit. Next up, Mississippi State is at Memphis. Mississippi State, a 3-point road favorite. The Bulldogs need to slow down Memphis freshman quarterback Seth Hennigan and get to him. He has lit up defenses this year. Defensive coordinator Zach Arnett said this week the guy is a, quote, hell of a player. This is a game I picked preseason for Memphis to win outright. The Liberty Bowl is going to be rocking. I will take Memphis plus the 3. And Memphis to win outright over Mississippi State. Look, I'd love to be wrong on that one and have Mike Leach and the Bulldogs improve to 3-0. But I'm giving my pick, Memphis over the Bulldogs. Three other lines we don't have games we don't have lines on. It's just, you know, three of the really bad matchups in the SEC teams are playing. Chattanooga's at Kentucky. Thing I want to see out of that is more out of the offense. Have Will Levis get that passing game going again. They kind of slowed down a little bit last week against Missouri because they ran the ball so well with Chris Rodriguez. Want to see Will Levis air it out, have a 300-yard day. Southeast Missouri State is at Missouri. Again, no line. Mizzou, get that ground game back going this week with Tyler Beatty. Connor Bazelak, great through the air last week, but get that dominant run game back going. Tennessee Tech at Tennessee, no line. Look, if it's Hendon Hooker at quarterback, get him some confidence this week before you got to go to the swamp next week. Joe Milton, man, if you're healthy, just stay off to the side and work on hitting wide receivers in stride down the field. All right, your three bigger games this week. We got South Carolina at Georgia. Georgia, a 31.5-point favorite at home in the SEC. It sounds like Luke Doty will start for South Carolina, which gives them a better chance to hang around than Zeb Nolan. But this Georgia defense is just so stout. Even if no JT Daniels for Georgia, Stetson Bennett can still get the job done. But if it is Stetson Bennett, 31.5 points is a lot of points. Question is, do you think South Carolina can score 16, 17 points? Remember, UAB got 10 on Georgia last week. I think Georgia wins, but something like 38-13. Georgia wins, but the Gamecocks cover. Next up, Auburn is at Penn State. Auburn, a 5.5-point underdog on the road at Penn State. Auburn versus Penn State is the 11th SEC versus Big Ten regular season matchup ever between ranked teams. It's ranked teams. SEC teams are 8-1-1 in those SEC versus Big Ten matchups. Tom Green, who covers the Tigers, tweeted out yesterday. He's already seen a ton of Auburn fans on the plane rides and picking up their rental cars up, going up to Happy Valley this weekend. And this is just my thinking on this game. Bo Nix, he's already played and played well in hostile environments. He played well 2 years ago in Death Valley. I'm pretty sure he's going to be okay playing in Happy Valley. I'm taking Auburn to cover, and I'm taking Auburn to win outright. Give me Brian Harsin and the Auburn Tigers improving to 3-0 on the season. Derek Mason gets it done defensively. Auburn's defense, one of the more underrated in the SEC, not getting enough credit this year. And lastly, Alabama at Florida. Florida, a 14.5-point home underdog in the Swamp. That doesn't happen very often. Man, if Anthony Richardson is healthy, he is going to make some plays on this Alabama defense. He could be an X factor for Florida. I think the crowd is going to be loud and hostile. And I think Bryce Young makes a mistake or two early on, an early interception or a fumble. I think Florida will hang around in this game. However, ultimately, I think Alabama pulls away in the fourth quarter. For Florida's sake, you wish it was a night game. It's not. CBS afternoon game. Bama pulls away late. I think they win something like 37-21, 40-21. Bama wins and covers. And I'd love to tell you, hey, don't hold me to that. I may put some money on Florida just to win outright if that line keeps moving in the direction of Alabama as a heavy favorite. But there you have it. Those are our Week 3 betting lines in the SEC presented by BetOnline.ag. A quick reminder, betting on the SEC does not have to be a guessing game. If you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and Lee Sterling, get Lee's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by BetOnline.ag wherever you get your podcast. That is going to do it for me, Chris Gordy. Appreciate all you guys for listening and subscribing. Remember, we're on YouTube now as well. You can watch the video version of our daily podcast and subscribe. We're here for you 5 days a week talking all things SEC. On Monday's show, we will react to Week 3 of the SEC. Let's see if we have some upsets brewing across the conference. I'm Chris Gordy. We'll talk to you then. You guys have a great weekend, everybody. Stay safe out there.